Coming up tomorrow, that's Wednesday, October 20th, right? It is Tuesday.
It is.
Okay. If you weren't here, I wouldn't know what day it is. 6 p.m. at the McCrosty Arts Center, they're hosting a Zoom conversation with John Zazada for the current exhibit, Every Tree Has a Story to Tell. John Zazada joins us now. John's a retired forester who is passionate about many issues related to forest trees and forest products in life as well as in art, and he's a fine birch bark artist himself. He's going to be leading the discussion tomorrow night, the Zoom conversation and a tour of the exhibit at the McCrosty, and the current state of black ash trees in Minnesota, the growing threat of emerald ash borer, and the implications for those who rely upon ash trees for natural and cultural uses. And John's in our studios this morning. Welcome back, John. It's been a long time. Scoot up there.
Yeah, it has been, especially after that last announcement on the day. I almost left.
We were all squirming in our seats.
Do you have a writer that does that sort of stuff? Or?
Yeah, Bob and Ray. Say, John, before we get to the threat of the emerald ash borer, I want to go through briefly a list of the artists and the trees that are featured here.
Yeah.
And where would you like to be in, with the trees or with the artists? Or should we just start with the tree and then you can tell us about the artist?
Well, whatever.
Okay, there's birch, black ash, basswood, northern white cedar, and willow species represented in the exhibit. Let's start with birch.
Birch. Well, that's the tree that I work with the most. But, Emily Durkee, she's a North House Folk School person. She does a lot of work with that. I was just with a gal from over in Wisconsin, Tina Fung. She does work with birch bark.
Is most of the work with birch done with bark? Is there anything done with the wood?
Oh, yeah. It's an important carving wood.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not too hard for carvers.
No, but it's John probably knows this as well or better than I do. It's a greenwood carving.
Yes.
Because it hardens up as it dries.
Yep.
And so
they do all their
preliminary work at least with it, and then they can let it dry for a while, mm-hmm. and then come back to it and finish it up. And it depends on whether you're a carver or whether you're a turner, mm-hmm. as to when you need to do that work.
But that only touches that. Well, that's the wood of the birch, and you use the bark.
Yeah.
And you're mostly involved in weaving it, but there are people who actually create unusual and just beautiful works of art using birch bark and their teeth.
Oh, biting, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it's
astonishing.
That's always that. And I guess I know of one person for sure that does that. There's more than one. The people that I met were from Canada.
Yeah.
And that was years ago now. But it is quite magical to watch them. Particularly, they can do this and carry on a complete conversation at the same time. Just like you guys. You know, you guys... You guys could bite.
We can have prostate problems and talk.
We could bite on birch.
Yeah.
I have bitten down on wood before, usually a pencil. Yeah. I remember, it seems like years ago, you showed me some examples of biting patterns that were done by Russian women or Russian peoples.
Well, there would be.
But these are Canadians that you're familiar with.
Yeah, and it seems to be coming back.
Oh, really?
As an art or craft.
The other thing I was surprised, John, there's basket, the color of the bark. I always think of it as mostly white, but there's some really subtle oranges and pretty colors in birch bark.
Well, it has to do with the time of year it's harvested.
Yeah.
First of all, there's winter bark and there's summer bark. And those pictures that you just showed there,
there's a basket.
The one on the single one. That's bark from the bark that grows back after you take the first growth off.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you. Taking the bark off, it is, if you do it correctly, it doesn't damage the tree.
Well, you know, it depends on how you define damage, but yeah, it doesn't kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting process because you take the outer... The thing that's unique about birch is that the other trees that are in the exhibit and most of the trees that we have, they use the innermost layer of the bark, whereas the birch bark is the outer bark. So you don't disturb the inner bark, which is what makes phloem, and that's, you know, what's important in transport of goodies from the leaves down into the rest of the tree. So what happens is you take that outer bark off, the inner bark dies back to a certain point, but the cambium stays alive, and then it just makes new bark again.
Okay.
So it's a really interesting process.
That's John Zazada, himself a birch bark artist, and he's going to be hosting a program tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock at the McCroskey Arts Center. It's a Zoom conversation with John about the exhibit, Every Tree Has a Story to Tell. And the trees that are turned to art in this exhibit are birch, black ash, basswood, northern white cedar, and willow. Let's hold the black ash for last, because then we can talk about the emerald ash borer, too.
Yeah.
Let's go to basswood.
Basswood.
I've always thought of it as a soft wood, soft enough wood that carvers like it.
I think it's the premier.
It is.
Wood.
Really?
Yeah, for carvers. And there used to be, I don't know how many there are now, but this used to be, especially up around Togo, and there used to be guys that, you know, cut basswood and treated it, and then, you know, sold it to carvers around the country, actually.
I also heard that there's a demand for basswood for veneers. Is that?
Yeah.
Veneer mill will...
I think one of the biggest things that I've heard of is shims.
There's a
factory over in
Cohasset
there, and I heard at one point that they were having trouble getting enough wood, basswood, for that use.
What is it about basswood that makes it a particularly good for shims?
Well, I think one thing, there's a lot of it. You know, they used to import pine or whatever from out west, and then they changed because they could get plenty of basswood. So I think,
is the basswood in this exhibit, is it mostly carvings?
No. The thing that fascinates me about basswood is the bark. I guess you kind of ignore it, but there are three sort of ways that you can treat bark. And they result in a totally different product, each method. But the thing that attracted me to including that in this was basswood honey.
Yeah.
And if people haven't ever tried basswood honey, they're missing one of the jewels of first of all, it's really neat to sit under a basswood tree. Well, I don't know. You know better than I, John, what the timing is.
It'd be late June, early July.
Yeah.
Usually around the 4th of July. Yeah.
And so if you find a good clump of basswood or whatever, and, you know, park yourself underneath it, the crown of the tree will just be alive with insects, getting the nectar and that sort of thing. That's another thing that's really important about trying to get across in this exhibit is, you know, how totally different things come together to make this stuff. Like, you know, well, who would think that, you know, basswood flowers would end up making honey? I mean, and, you know, so it gets the bees involved, and it gets apiary people involved.
Oh, yeah.
You can just go on and on down the line thinking of to things that you never think of putting together. You know, another one that really fascinates me is making fish leather.
Fish skin leather.
And it's a combination of the stinky fish skin and treating it with, in particular around here, what I've fooled around with in trying to learn more about it is the tannins in the bark of particularly birch and willow.
Hmm.
And these things, you get them in water and you treat the bark, and the tannins and other materials in the bark go in and they kind of come together with what's in the fish skin, and they make a solid product that I've got. The one piece we have in the exhibit is just really beautifully done.
Yeah.
Leather, and it lasts forever.
Do you think that was discovered by accident? I mean, how?
Yeah, you wonder about that.
Who's the first person to do that?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you can imagine what somebody saying.
Skin with tan.
trying to, you know, clean a fish and getting the skin and putting that on your skin and saying, God, I can't do that. how can I make this stuff better, you know? It's fascinating.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the willow. Let's talk about the willow.
Willow, yeah.
You know, I saw a bowl out of, what do you call the things that grow in the, you told me the other day, John, I can never remember it.
The withes?
The growth.
Burls?
Galls? Galls. Or, I don't know, there's a bowl in there from a willow that is just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Just a small bowl.
Is that made from a gall or a...
No, it's you know, what we normally think of, and myself too, is, you know, all these one-year-old spindly little things, or you know, not spindly, but beautiful things that they make baskets out of. But,
sure.
You know, John knows that, you know, willow can get pretty big, you know, and so that particular piece is from Alaska, and, you know, it was probably about 4 or 5 inches in diameter at one time, and then the guy turned it, but, you know, we mostly think, at least I do, of willow basketry, and
right.
There's some beautiful baskets in the exhibit, you know, there are bigger willows that grow around, and people use their...
How about, now you said that's from Alaska. Willows around here, people work willows?
Oh, yeah. Well, especially the basket tree.
Okay.
Yeah. And I actually grow willows myself in my backyard just to watch them grow every year.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Cut them down and give them to people, and then they grow up. And it's just, you know, they're amazing.
It's like harvesting asparagus.
Yeah.
You cut them down one year and they're right back next.
Yeah.
And John, you often talk about how many different kinds of willows
are
too.
I think they're in the state, I think Welby Smith lists 18 shrub willows and 3 tree willows.
Yeah.
And it almost, not impossible to identify, obviously, but difficult.
Yeah.
This time of year, the willows are going to be those shrubs that still have leaves on them for the most part. Some of them hold their leaves quite late in the season. Diamond willow, which is not a species of willow, but one of 3 species of willows that are infected by a fungus that causes the diamond shape to form, and walking sticks and carvings. And I once toured a log cabin where the furniture was made from diamond willow, and these were old pieces, and some of the legs for like the sofas and the beds were 6 or 8 inches in diameter.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So you can find some pretty big willows.
Yeah, diamond willow is really interesting. Yeah.
All right, now northern white cedar. I often think of cedar as going into boats and canoes, and also the roots of cedars are used as well. But what's in the exhibit that's white cedar?
Well, there's a big, it's in the booklet there, I think, a picture of it, a big mat that's made out of cedar bark. And
that's the bark. Huh?
That's the inner bark.
Wow.
And the other thing that, and that That bowl is also cedar wood. In the exhibit.
Can you work cedar wood like you do ash, as far as strip for getting strips, or is it?
Not that way. No, okay. But those strips on that basket were sawn, you know, and then the guy put it together. And mm-hmm. Cedar wood is wonderful stuff too. It's soft, and I make some shrink boxes and stuff out of it because I just like it. And you know, what got me to thinking about it to include in the exhibit, I remember as a kid, the big thing about deer yards and how deer used to concentrate. And so I thought, well, I'll just pick cedar and see where it takes us, you know, and then bam, all kinds of stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's it's just, you know, crazy. And you know, I didn't even include it because I don't know, but cedar oil is a big deal.
Oh, mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, for, you know, medicinal and and fragrance and that sort of stuff. Yeah. Huh. So,
well, you do have some, I know you have a little bit of birch sap in the exhibits, and I don't know, do you have the oils? I don't remember seeing oils.
Yeah, there's an oil of birch.
There is.
In there, and it's the process where you take a couple of cans and you load the top can as tight as you can with birch bark, mainly the inner bark, and then, well, that's the whole layer, and then put a hole in the bottom of it, and you set that over a smaller can, and you build a big fire around it, and the oil leaks out the can into the bottom. And, you know, you say, well, what in the world do you use that stuff for? I just did it because I'd heard about it and wanted to try it myself. But there's apparently some medicinal value. And
is it aromatic at all?
Oh, it stinks. Yeah, it's pretty.